You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Tyreek Hill. For the audio audience, I am just shaking my head sadly side to side. I believe it to be the best commentary. I mean, I could yell and scream.
Nah, shaking your head is fine.
I can. I'm generally not. This is weird for a columnist and certainly someone who does this. I'm generally not raining down judgment on human beings. But why is it always you, Tyreek? Like, this league has eradicated its perception problem when it comes to some of this stuff, Stugatz.
Like, yes.
The stuff that Roger Goodell did, he had a league that was out of control. Adam Silver's got a different problem right now. Sports thriving everywhere, and all of a sudden the tide has turned against Adam Silver, where they're blaming him for things like the shot clock not working at the end of Lakers-Warriors and it taking 20 minutes to play 15 seconds. He's got a different set of problems. Roger Goodell once, and it was one of his greatest problems, I would say, had a perception problem in his league that his violent players couldn't stay violent just between the lines, and that they had domestic abuse problems and crime problems and everything else. And it's just not associated with the NFL the same way anymore. They don't get arrested at that rate or something disproportionate to the American populace anymore. And Tyreek Hill is still out here, Stugatz. And you're just waiting for what's going to be the next one. I'd never even heard of a postnuptial agreement. That's when you don't do the prenup correctly, and then you decide afterwards, I got a lot of money and I need to do a postnuptial one. I didn't know that was a thing. Did you know it was a thing? Did anyone here know that postnuptial agreement was a thing?
I had no idea. I mean, it seems like if you don't agree to stuff on the front end, then there's no agreement in place.
I mean, it is something I have not. Tyreek Hill has taught
hindsight,
me. Taught me this. Anyway, there is football to get to that's not off the field. I know Jessica's got opinions about a trade between two of her many favorite teams. I know Lucy's enraged because she doesn't like Iowa's path. And I'm genuinely torn here, Stugatz. Do you start on this Monday? Billy, let me go to Dookie here, internationally famous football insider. Do you start with Aaron Donald and Justin Fields and the Pittsburgh quarterback room, or do you start with college basketball, both tournaments, our March Sadness tournament? We generally don't care very much around here for 20 years about college basketball, except to do our tournament. Where do you start today?
I would not start with Aaron Donald. He retired. The end. And then we're good. Yeah, we've checked off the Aaron Donald.
He
box,
retired. He was great. 5 years from now, he'll be in Canton. Yeah. We're done with Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
That's it.
Really?
I mean, he's great. He's one of the all-time greats. What else?
I mean, I've got some scouting reports on him coming out of college that suggest no one knows shit about who's going to be good.
I feel like we spent a week when Nick Saban retired just doing the same thing.
I really...
It wasn't March, though.
I hate to ask Billy's opinion and then immediately reject it, but it's what I'm going to do.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm always lamenting around here. Why is it so hard to just be positive in content? Why does it have to be blame and division? How do you talk about the greatness of someone who has no precedent? This man made the Pro Bowl 10 years. Only Barry Sanders did that. Played 10 years, made it every one of his years. He did something at the position I did not think was humanly possible. He had 20 sacks in a season from the middle of your offense. Through the middle of double teams all season, had 20 sacks at that position. Revolutionized strength and speed at that position. Has no precedent. As a football player, you can make a legitimate argument, given the value of what he did, getting sacks and pressure from that position, caving in your entire offensive game plan. You can make an argument for him as best defensive player ever.
You can. It's Lawrence Taylor and then Reggie White. But I understand, he's great. 10 years, 10 Pro Bowls, 3 defensive MVPs. He's one of 3 players to do that. I believe J.J. Watt was one of the others.
Player of the year, yeah.
He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He deserves to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is not the best defensive player ever in the NFL.
Okay, that's fine. And you can argue that if you like. I would argue today, bigger, stronger, faster, always. Aaron Donald, we don't have to do this. It's fine. Top 5, top 10. I will tell you, Kyler Murray announced that when the retirement's announced, he just tweets, thank God. And Geno Smith, one of the best audio bites from last season, Aaron Donald comes in unblocked up the middle. You just hear him wired for sound shout, oh my God. Like that. I don't know why you guys would just skip past that kind of greatness and be like, ah, retired. That's it. It's done. That's the celebration he deserves. Let me go back to complaining about my bracket.
It's March. I do find it interesting, though, that he decided to retire after just 10 seasons, where guys are trying to maximize how much money they make in the NFL. He decided, I've made enough. I have a future. I don't want my body to hurt the way I see some other people's bodies hurt later in life. I do find that part interesting. He had 5 years left in him, Dan.
I don't know, though, that his body's going to feel any better.
Okay.
What he did.
He's got a better chance, I think.
Yeah, of course. Okay. But what he did for a living. Totally insane.
Yes.
Being in the middle of all of that, being stronger than everybody in the middle of that particular frenzy, his body's going to be in a great deal of pain for the rest of his life, I would assume.
Yes.
As will the people he played against, because he inflicted a substantive amount of damage. We will get to the quarterback room of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because the Steelers are run by Stugatz.
They have all the quarterbacks.
Just get me names. And everyone agrees. You never get this kind of consensus, Stugatz, on the following. If I just tell you Pickett, Trubisky, Rudolph, and I say Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and cheap, consensus throughout all of sports opinion is way to go, Pittsburgh. However, there are only 2 quarterbacks who have lost that much the last 2 years. It's those two.
Yep.
And there are only 2 quarterbacks who have a combination of 100 interceptions and sacks in the last 2 years. And it's those two.
Right.
They were available for very good reasons. And I know we love all of
us. Everyone.
Everyone listening to this would say, I'd take a flyer on Justin Fields. Get him on my team for nothing because I want an electrical cord in my backfield.
I think what's been underestimated the last couple months is how little leverage the Bears had once it became pretty obvious that they were going to pick Caleb Williams first overall. And also how I think in denial a lot of Bears fans were that would be the case, because I think Bears fans really like Justin Fields and felt bad for Justin Fields and wanted them to do good by Justin Fields. And so a lot of things kind of came together this weekend where Bears fans are mad, but also excited, but they're not happy and they feel like they got fleeced, and Steelers fans are like, well, this is better, I guess. Sure, why not?
Well,
what do I do with my Kenny Pickett jersey?
You're a fan of both teams. How do you feel? I'm jealous, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like the Bears shouldn't be allowed to draft quarterbacks anymore.
So to that point, because Jay Cutler is the best quarterback in Bears history, and frustrated Bears fan who learned about this drinking way too much on St. Patrick's Day.
Sid Luckman?
They 100% waited until every person in the city of Chicago was hammered on St.
Well,
Patrick's
Day. The thing to me that was stunning about this, Stugatz, because I really am on Justin Fields, okay? You've heard me talk a lot about how crazy I think it is that all of these people are analyzing football and and they still can't tell you how someone's going to be good. Because Aaron Donald, I'm going to read what the weaknesses were, Stugatz. This is Next Gen Stats Scouting Report when he came out of school.
Okay, so this is coming out of college into the NFL.
They're saying he's a special teams guy, that he's a backup. Marginal height and frame is nearly maxed out. Hands are more active than strong. Could play with more pop and power. Overpowered in the run game and ground up by double teams. Gets snared and controlled by bigger, longer blockers. Not a two-gap player. Has some tweener traits. Lacks ideal length and bend to play outside. I just heard Mel Kiper 2 months ago tell me that Atlanta would give up their number eight. Atlanta would give up number eight first round. Stugatz, can you play with your computer when it's quiet, please?
I forgot to turn the volume down. I'm sorry. It's March, Dan.
It happens. March.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dan Le Batard.
Sports.
Stugatz.
More sports.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
This is all well and good, but I think the question is McNeese, James Madison, Grand Canyon, or UAB, which is the 12 that's going to upset the 5? You know what I mean? That's what today's about.
Is that what today's about?
I mean, yesterday was Selection Sunday, but today's Selection Monday. You know what I mean?
Well, how about Florida, Gulf Coast, and Oklahoma, though, in the women's bracket?
That's, you know,
Lucy,
the conversation
good,
worth having, I
good,
think.
Good point, Billy. Well done. Lucy, your thoughts on... I thought you were telling me that for sure that your family was in agreement that the entire bracket would be lubricated so Caitlin Clark could get the easiest possible path to wonderful things so that everyone could make tons of money and ratings. I thought this was guaranteed and assured. Have the women fallen behind the men in inability to rig a bracket correctly?
First, nothing was lubricated. Let's use a different word than that. Yesterday, I called my little brother and we're talking about the women's bracket, which one, how cool is that? We didn't even talk about the men's bracket, talked about the women's bracket. And he was like, don't worry, Lucy. Like, we knew Iowa was going to get a one seed. We're like, it will be the easier path because the NCAA, ESPN, everyone benefits from Caitlin Clark getting back to the Final Four. So I'm sitting there, Selection Sunday, I'm so excited. I know that there's going to be a one next to my Iowa Hawkeyes name. They call one and I'm like, yes. Let's go. And they're like, also, you got Princeton. I said, ooh, okay, don't love that. And you got Drake. Don't love that. Yeah. And you got Colorado. Hate that. And you got LSU, defending national champion that beat you last year. Okay, that's fine. Kansas State, a team that beat Iowa this year. All right, that's cool. UCLA, all in the same bracket. Yeah. All in the same bracket that Caitlin Clark is in.
Death bracket for her.
Death bracket. Well, no. I believe in her.
Yeah,
she can make it through. If Iowa wins the national championship, they deserve it. But it made me so angry. And Rebecca Lobo, a queen, said on the broadcast, Iowa deserved the second seed. They were the number two overall seed, so they earned the second easiest bracket. But they did not get that because with seeding and all this stuff and the Pac-12.
Curve. Having, the S-curve.
Oh, I hate the S-curve. And when they brought the lady from the committee on, oh, my God, I hate her. I hate her. I don't like her at all. I feel robbed. Except for, I still have a lot of faith. I think we can win the national championship. I'm just feeling it. I'm just not feeling my best right now.
I've never seen this side of you. Have you guys seen her this kind of unhinged?
We didn't deserve this,
listen,
Dan.
Listen.
We deserved easier than this.
Jessica, yeah. This is where I haven't seen this part of her. You have to understand, every time she's reporting about some latest Caitlin Clark thing, it's the most amazing feeling she's ever had. And now she's headed into a bracket of death. She's a ratings monster. That sport, like, we have seen this. Look, Lucy's saying she can't believe she's talking to her brother about this. We're headed into a women's tournament that's more interesting than the men's for a lot of different reasons. Like, there has been a seismic sort of sea change in the way people are enjoying the women playing basketball, and you have to get Caitlin Clark to that final. You cannot have her eliminated early. We do not want a March Sadness situation where she's getting knocked out early by a 15 seed because we got to get...
No!
They're trying to set...
Put that out there.
Lucy, I'm sorry. They're trying to set up Iowa and LSU, and everyone wants to see that game. I want to see that game. They're trying to guarantee you see that game.
They're not doing that, though, because USC... Or, I'm sorry, not USC. LSU and UCLA will meet before... They would play Iowa, and most likely UCLA will beat LSU, and we won't get that rematch. It all has to do with the stupid Pac-12 and their dumb seeding, and honestly, I'm kind of glad that conference is over with after this. Well, that's...
Lucy Rodine, Iowa correspondent.
Chris, you want to tell Jessica you're going to play that before you play it?
Heads up would have been nice.
Yeah, I mean, she's right in the room with you.
That was one of my takeaways and my top five takeaways from the women's March Madness bracket, actually.
You have five of them.
I do have five of them.
All right, we're going to get to those.
Fanfare?
Let's get to those. Yes, let's
Chris,
get
that's me giving you a heads
up. Yes, that is what you do for your teammates. I don't want to just leave right now, though. I know she can be... someone who gets emotional and hyperventilates when moved by the energies of college football. But her outraged in defense of...
Women are emotional.
Her queen. Her, not Rebecca Lobo.
Ow!
Caitlin Clark is as excited as I've seen Lucy. You don't understand. Iowa does not get... athletic echoing greatness.
Sounds like Caitlin Clark.
Have you watched
scared.
Her punter? You don't know what you're talking about.
Not since Hayden Fry. You're right, Dan.
Are we scared for Caitlin Clark that she can't do it? Like, I don't understand. Isn't
I'm
she
not.
The best ever? It sounds like
right.
we're scared.
I agree, Billy. And Lucy, you know that I love you so much.
I gotta leave.
There's more teams in women's basketball than Iowa and LSU. This
Thank
is not
you.
Just for Lucy. This
Thank
is for everyone
you.
Else. There are
Thank
some
you.
Great matchups.
Let's talk about Notre Dame.
Let's, Jessica.
Thank you.
Here we go.
A two seed.
Jessica's
Hannah
top.
Hannah Hidalgo. Know her name.
Jessica's top five observations from last night's most important bracket. Let's go with number five or OLI.
OLI, Miami, not in. What happened to our precious, beautiful blue bloods? Not in the men's or the women's tournament.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to talk to Mike Ryan about this tomorrow, but Mike Ryan believes that the men's basketball team simply quit. He's made that allegation
really?
Privately, so we'll see if that is something he's willing to do publicly, even though I just did it for him. Also, OLI.
No, we're on five now.
Okay.
Okay. Southern Cal... and South Carolina could play one seed versus one seed in the national championship. The battle for who gets to be USC.
Wow. Couple of USC's gotten it
that's
up.
That's number five.
A lot on the line
number,
for Southern Cal.
That is. That, and I think we'd be willing to do that conclusively, would we not?
I'm for it.
Are you willing to give the USC to the winner of South Carolina, Southern California?
Number four, the Pac-12. Really good women's basketball conference. Shame we blew that up.
Your timing's not working very well, Jessica, with Chris Cody. Let's get Chris Cody in line.
Today. We'll get there.
Yeah. Number three.
Nebraska and Texas A&M playing against each other in the men's and the women's bracket after Nebraska's athletic director was just hired by Texas A&M. The
wow.
battle of the college admins.
Wow.
Good bit, Dan.
Did
Thank
you just shake me off? Did you just?
You were a catcher giving me signals.
You shook
I'm the
me off. You shook me off.
Slower's better.
I wanted you to clip her. I wanted you to
Slow
clip
report.
Her. And you decided to wait that time.
He wanted a different pitch.
It worked.
He shook me off. Number two.
UConn is not. UConn is going to Portland. They're not playing in their home region, which they always get to play home games in stores and then Albany or wherever in like the East Coast. But no, they're shipping them out west. UConn playing out west. Crazy.
And number one,
the Columbia women's basketball team. First time they're going dancing. We have a video of them reacting. It was so fun to watch. Lucy and I were both emotional watching this clip.
The guy just sitting on the floor.
This is one of those videos where you watch it a few times and focus on one person, and they're all freaking out.
What about the guy who got trampled on the floor sobbing? What about that? What happened
to
him?
He's one of my faves. If we could do a top five favorite reaction. No, I'm just kidding. They're crying. Dan, it's the most wonderful time of the year other than bowl season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We will do some testing of Stugatz here over the next 3.5 hours. He is a proud fraud this time of year. We will have Seth
All
Davis.
All times of year.
Seth Davis is going to join us. He knows what he's talking about, and we will see. We will see. Okay. All right. We'll do that. We have a lot of fun to make of Amin as well because the internet got a hold of him in a jump shot that echoes in sadness in a way that will allow us to mock him all show today. But I simply wanted to circle back on what it is we were talking about before on Justin Fields, because Stugatz, I don't know that I have had an example, even understanding that football has gotten very sophisticated on how they can measure everything. It happened kind of fast, and it happened at quarterback as well in a way that changes the finances at running back. And I just haven't seen a lot of quarterbacks like Justin Fields ever. And I'm confused that Lamar Jackson seems to have redefined the position when some executives in the league, his executive, like Peyton Manning, MVP executive, once told you that couldn't play quarterback. And now I'm watching, and I watch. The Bears are erratic. You cannot turn the ball over anymore, Stugatz. Like, that's not what quarterbacks do anymore. You're not allowed to do it. You can't be reckless. So what? This is one of the best running quarterbacks we've ever seen.
No doubt.
Runs past secondaries. Obviously has a skill level talent. Accuracy not quite as strong as some others, but has a skill level arm talent that made the Bears trade up first round picks, second round picks, because they wanted to get to number 11 because they wanted 3 years of this guy, where they win nothing. And now I'm confused because I'm looking at it and I'm like, wait a minute. Not only did Justin Fields just become a backup, that just happened, but the trade market seems to indicate that nobody could use that. Now, I don't trust Atlanta, Stugatz, because Atlanta told me they didn't need Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So now they say Kirk Cousins is the answer, but I can't separate what I just saw in Minnesota. I thought that was Justin Jefferson. I thought that whatever happened with Kirk Cousins was made a lot easier by Justin Jefferson, but now Atlanta's telling me they didn't need Lamar Jackson at all. What they need is Kirk Cousins, someone who looks and plays like Kirk Cousins. And I'm like, the position, is it changing or is it not? Is it going to be allowed to change or is it not? And my evaluation gets confused, Stugatz, when Mel Kiper was saying on television 2 months ago that Atlanta would give up an 8 for Justin Fields, and then they tell us, no, it's going to be easier to trade for Kenny Pickett. It's going to cost you more to trade for Kenny Pickett than it is for Justin Fields. And I'm like, I can't evaluate this position anymore because I think Justin Fields can play quarterback as a starter in this league.
I honestly think that it came down to everyone knowing that the Bears were going to get rid of him. And so, like, a bunch of teams called their bluff. They knew they were going to get desperate and end up giving him away for way less than they wanted a couple months ago. And that's all it came down. I don't think the market's telling you Kenny Pickett's a better backup quarterback than Justin Fields.
But the market did dry up on Justin Fields. Dan is right. Like, the Bears went into this thinking
because
we're not.
You were asking a lot, and everyone knew eventually you're just going to get rid of him for whatever you
but
get.
But does the audience have the same reaction? Like, I'm copping to here something that it's uncomfortable to cop to, because very often in this business, we like to think we know, and some of the loudest among us act like we know when we really don't know, when we don't know anything. But in this particular case, I've been following how the market tracks on business at the position. We all have been, right? Because we're now obsessed with the finances of this. So how much guaranteed money did this person? What do you mean? The Titans with A.J. Brown refused 4 years, $100 million, and now they're giving Calvin Ridley 4 years, $92
million. Like, makes no sense.
Okay, like what? What
but
is
a lot of that, too, is like they thought they didn't need to do it, and then they realized they messed up, and now they're overcorrecting and paying someone that you shouldn't. Like the Falcons, I would think, thought, you know what? We don't have to give Lamar all that money. Maybe Desmond Ridder works out. And then he didn't work out. And now they're like, okay, now we messed up with Lamar. We need to go get a quarterback. And now they're paying Kirk Cousins way more than they should be paying Kirk Cousins because they already missed last year Lamar Jackson.
We're talking about the most important position in all of sports. Why wouldn't the Bears just hold on to two quarterbacks? Like, why?
That's financial.
But then you wait until the season starts and all the quarterbacks start getting hurt, and then you trade him when someone really has a need for a quarterback.
You can't draft Caleb Williams and have Justin Fields sitting there on the sideline.
I just don't understand why that's
problems.
The case. Why is that the case? It's the most important position. Where we saw last year how often they get hurt, quarterbacks. I just don't understand. Like a sixth-round pick, I'd rather have a good backup quarterback then get a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, but you're drafting Caleb Williams, Justin Fields.
You don't even know he'll be good.
I know, but when he's not good, the fans are going to start chanting for you're creating a quarterback controversy that's not there if you keep Justin Fields and draft Caleb Williams.
I think Chris has a point, though. Like, it does seem like it would have made more sense at this point when all of these teams have probably passed since around the end of the season to the combine, et cetera, to wait at least until maybe the draft, at least till training camp. But I think the Bears front office didn't want to have the situation that Stugatz is describing, where you now have two guys that you've got, you know, picked up in the first round on the same team, which seems like a little ridiculous. I don't know.
It's so great.
Probably could have gotten more out from a desperate team later on.
It's so great. It's a great way to lead. Fear the chance.
That's what I'm saying. Don't you sit Justin Fields down and say, hey, we're only getting offered a sixth-round pick. You're owed more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Dan Le Batard.
Well, Charlie sent, Charlie, as far as I know, so just Charlie's title in my
Are you going to say anything?
Stugatz.
How familiar were you at the time with Chewbacca? Like, how your upbringing had how much Chewbacca in it?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Stugatz, you tell me if you believe that my analysis here, because a lot of analysis that comes in the sports information field comes from people who do not see their blind spots, okay? When I tell you that I believe the audience is connecting here with me, not for reasons of self-involvement, but I believe that the audience is doing, we don't get consensus in sports about anything.
Right.
I think the audience is like, why was Justin Fields that cheap? Why is he allowed to go to Pittsburgh and be the backup? Why doesn't every team in the league want something like that as possible hope? And hey, if my quarterback gets hurt, it'd be pretty nice to see Justin Fields back there. And I'm taking a one-year flyer on him because I think the audience thinks like me. Hey, he showed me enough flashes that I don't think Zach Wilson can play. I'm not sure about Bryce Young. We've sped it up on all these guys. You got 3 years, figure it out or get out. 3 years, hurry up. Like, your value or you're not, get out. Like, I'm sitting there for 3 years on Tua, Stugatz.
Yeah.
For 3 years, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Do you pay it $50 million if you need to keep that guy whose house catches fire and whose personal life is, you know, raging outside of your huddle and those are your two top paid guys. You're building around one who a year ago we were worried about his head, and the other one we're worried about his head.
It seems like you're asking Fields and Russell Wilson at $4.5 million or Tua at 55.
I'm not. I saw you doing that last week with the Golics. It enraged me that you're just going to this cheap sports radio trick. Just this, this old hit of yours, which Russell, you want. This is the part I think the audience is connecting with me on. I think we're all looking at Justin Fields and being like, well, if quarterback is hope, and I can put someone on the field who's a better athlete than everyone else, I'd like that on my team as a second option. Chicago doesn't need that when all they've ever had at quarterback is Jay Cutler. That's the best they've ever done. So I'd understand Chicago would be pissed off today because they know what a quarterback doesn't look like for many, many years. And Justin Fields occasionally looked like he could be someone who could be their quarterback.
Yeah, but Chicago cannot get upset. They have the number one overall pick in the draft. They have what everyone says is a generational quarterback in Caleb Williams. Like, they have to get that right. You don't want Justin Fields sitting around there. I actually like what the Bears did. They probably thought the market was better for Justin Fields. Clearly, it was not.
But you can't like what the Bears did from this perspective, Stugatz. The trade can't be, if you're the Chicago Bears, we're going to trade a 1, a 1, and a 2 to get up to number 11 to get Justin Fields. And then 3 years later, we're going to trade him for a 6 and have nothing to show for it. That's bad management. Like, that's bad management 101. That's not the way to do it in a salary cap sport. You have to figure out in those 3 years whether your trade has value and you are traded a depreciated asset that depreciated only because you stink at your job.
Dan, they did figure it out. With Justin Fields as their quarterback, they have the number one pick in the NFL draft. I mean, they haven't been good with Justin Fields, so
it's Carolina's pick, but
I understand, but they move on to a generational quarterback in Caleb Williams, and you don't keep Justin Fields around. And from the Steelers standpoint,
no, you get more for him. It's not that you don't keep him around, you have to get more for him.
But Dan, clearly they couldn't get more for, you're acting like this is, you have 1 year of upside with Justin Fields, and then you have to figure out, do I have to pay him? What do I have to pay him? So you have 1 year to get it done with Justin Fields.
Is he a starting quarterback, yes or no?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
I don't believe the audience thinks that. I don't believe that the audience saw him play, even though they lost, saw those throws to DJ Moore. You're bringing in Keenan Allen now.
Well, they're getting all the pieces that they didn't get for him now, right? So you don't really know what he is because he didn't have all of the weapons that Caleb Williams going to walk into the NFL having. But you also don't know that Caleb Williams is going to be the answer and that he's going to be the generational quarterback that you hope he is, right? But you also told everyone you're going to take him. So now everybody knows you don't need Justin Fields anymore, so you're going to get rid of him, which is why there wasn't a market for him, because like to what Jess was saying before, at some point they're going to have to cut bait with him.
But that's
which
not
is why
doing
it's just
it well.
A six.
That's,
no, they, that's they, not, did this
the
to themselves.
Bears.
They did this to
We're
themselves.
We're talking about the Chicago Bears.
They completely did this to themselves, and like even in Chris's hypothetical, right, which is, well, why don't you just keep both of them? You don't want to have that quarterback controversy, but also, like, you can't get much worse for him than a six-rounder. So, like, what's the point of settling now for a six-rounder? Because, like, during the season, if someone needs a quarterback, they're going to know, all I need is a six-rounder for him. But you don't want to have the headache of having two quarterbacks, which now Pittsburgh kind of is going to have because they have kind of Russ, but they have him for 1 year, and then what are you going to do with Justin Fields? Is he the next guy? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's two cheap quarterbacks, both with something to prove. One has upside. Like, it's a great job by Mike Tomlin to go from the quarterback room that he had last year to the quarterback room he has
today.
Oh,
no, it's a much better quarterback room. Yeah.
Okay, and this is the take that everyone has today, and I am suspicious of the take that everyone agrees on, because no one will disagree with Trubisky's out and Pickett's out and all those 3 yard passes when I know Pickens can play and I know that Harris is a good running back. They have some skill talent. I'm looking at their defense. It's elite. And so can they make a leap when it's not Mason Rudolph? And all of us are in agreement. All of us.
No.
Someone disagrees.
I tweeted this the other day, but they hired Arthur Smith as their offensive coordinator. I can't remember him playing with a quarterback like Russell Wilson or really like Justin Fields. I don't know what their offense is even going to look like, but I do think Justin Fields is interesting because you have your run game that the Steelers have established pretty well the last couple of years with Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris. The offensive line's been playing a lot better, and they're probably going to get more pieces in the draft. And you have a quarterback like Justin Fields who's just like insanely creative and fast and athletic when he's playing his best. And the Bears, I don't think really understood how to use him, and the instability there was terrible, and the pieces around him were bad, and the offensive line was making him run for his life at times. So I'm interested by it, but I don't know if it's going to work, Dan. I really don't know if it's going to work. I know it'll probably be more interesting than what I watched last year, which was just one touchdown every six games.
But that's part of the trade that's being made here. Everyone's looking at it. Well, it'll be more interesting. Like, we're all agreeing with that part. It'll be more interesting.
It's for sure going to be good. I think a lot of people think like, oh, it'll be better. I don't know for sure. We'll find out.
Hot take, Russell Wilson was not happy about this. He went out publicly and was like, I'm supportive of this. I'm excited. Let's steal or whatever he said, right? Yeah. I think privately he let out a dang it like no one's business. Like, he was upset about this situation.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju. Did Russell Wilson let out a dang it like
privately,
nobody like privately. Like nobody
privately, yes.
Can I finish, please? Okay. Like nobody's business. And I'm going to have to reprimand Jessica here. Who, and I don't know for sure, we'll find out, is the title of the world's lamest podcast.
Isn't that like David Sampson's whole thing?
Wait
though?
To see.
I mean, that,
and
I mock him too.
Oh my God, it's awful. Wait to see is one of the worst slogans in the history of words slung together.
In sports radio,
it's
for
terrible.
Sure. We don't wait and see.
Wait to see is one of the lamest catchphrases anyone has ever had. But I don't know for sure, we'll find out is actually fair commentary. But everywhere else around, I don't know for sure, we'll find out, everyone has a very strong opinion. And a whole lot of people aren't saying, Arthur Smith, that's confusing. But let's look at this for a second, just for a second. That is a very stable franchise. Mike Tomlin has done winning. None of us can totally understand, and yet might be on the hot seat because it's not about getting to the playoffs or even winning seasons. Can't be 9-7, 10-7.
Losing the first round.
Losing the first
year,
round.
Right.
And we know Pickett, that quarterback room's not good enough. We all can see you can't play like that and win. You might surprise us, but you can't keep having winning seasons that aren't a bit of a mirage.
Billy, I'm wondering, did Jalen Hurts do the same thing when he found out that Kenny Pickett was coming to the Eagles? Like,
no, it's the you're missing the part of the joke. It's the darn it. It's the dang it.
Privately.
Privately.
But Jalen wasn't happy. I'm reporting that.
So. I want to examine that this is a black coaching
staff.
Why
are you reporting that?
Upside, Pickett. I mean, you don't want Pickett hanging around your team.
That.
I just think some of this commentary is just so lame, Stugatz. We're afraid of a chant and quarterback controversy in this sport. That's what leadership is. I can't have two quarterbacks. I'm afraid of a chanting fan base. I'm a total coward. I'm Mike Tomlin. I'm scared. I have to be scared. I don't blink. I'm talking every week about we just need to get out of the stadium alive. I'm afraid that my fans are going to chant something.
It's why it's the perfect landing spot. Tomlin doesn't care if the fans chant for Fields. Mike Tomlin's going to do what Mike Tomlin wants to do.
I'm simply telling you, when it comes to the analysis, Stugatz, of that position and me hearing consensus of everyone thinks the Steelers did the right thing, and the meekest you can say is, I don't know, it might not work out, but it seems like a better quarterback room, obviously. And I want to just go back to the beginning of what we were saying. How is it that we don't know how to evaluate the position better than this? That the league can't assign values to these people that aren't this confusing? Because you've already wiped out the running back market. And I think that position's about to change. Like, we saw Lamar Jackson without an agent, Stugatz. Atlanta did not want him. He's the MVP of the league. Deshaun Watson is a disaster. He's 25% of their salary cap, and because they're cowards, they won't bring back Flacco because they don't want
the
chanting.
Well, they got Jameis, though, so no, they want they're inviting the chanting. When you bring in Jameis,
you're not inviting the same kind of chant.
There's never been a Jameis chant.
Not the same chant.
I chant it every Sunday.
I can't believe Cleveland got rid of Flacco, and they're like, it didn't fit.
I feel like what's hard, though, is that the evaluation includes every team's individual situation as well as the quarterback's deal and how much time is left on it and how much money they have. And those things are individualized to each team. So it is hard to compare and contrast apples to apples what every team wants and what every team can get out of a franchise. And that's how the Bears end up in this position where they – know that they want to get rid of Justin Fields. They don't want to have two first-round pick quarterbacks in the locker room come draft night. And so everyone else knows they're going to do that, and they've got to dump him off where they can find a they have said, and I don't know if this is true, but they have said they wanted to put him in a good position, and they don't want him to go to a team where there's already a starting quarterback, like, for example, the Eagles, where Jalen Hurts is obviously the starter there, and B, you know, somewhere that is going to give them something, and so they got a conditional sixth-round pick out of it.
Dan, just so we're clear, are you surprised teams like the Cowboys didn't go after Justin Fields? Like, if Dak gets hurt, does it work out?
They have Trey Lance.
It's not surprise. This is what I'm just saying to you again and again. Trey Lance, thank you for mentioning him, okay? The 2021 draft now. You told me Zach Wilson was good at quarterback. Trey Lance, good at quarterback. Mac Jones, good at quarterback. Justin Fields, good at quarterback.
Do we know Trey Lance is good at quarterback?
No, I'm saying that the 2021 draft, look at what it did at quarterback. Nobody knows. Nobody knows anything. Like, nobody. You told me all those quarterbacks were good.
Now, in fairness, Jess said, we'll see how this plays out.
Back then. That's the only, it's the only right take. I don't know for sure. We'll find out.
The Chiefs know something.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.